Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table with us is Sister Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama. And we're just delighted that you've taken the time out of your schedule just to be with us. And tonight what we're going to be discussing, my brothers and my sisters, we're going to be into our third lesson on ownership. And we started this journey back at the beginning of the month on August 7th, and we started off talking about ownership, but from the perspective of the truths about ownership. And then what we were led to do on August 14th, which was last week, we were led to talk about the value in ownership. And in both of those weeks that we have just had, we really talked about various different scriptures. We came from Genesis 1:1. We talked from the book of Psalms, the 50th chapter, the 10th through the 12th verse, the 87th chapter, 11th to 12th verse. We also touched on the 50th or the 24th Psalm, the first and the second verse. And last week, we really hit home on Acts chapter 2. We focused on the last part of chapter 4 specifically, hitting on verses 32 to 36. And then we moved in to Acts chapter 5. And Mama, you know that seemed to be a lot of fun for us who have listened. So if you've missed that episode, we just ask you just to visit us on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us under the We Speak Radio Network, which is the network that we are currently up under. We've been here for the last couple of years, and it's just been a joy and a pleasure just to serve all the people out there that's listening in this capacity. So let us get started with tonight's show. As I said, we're going to continue on with a lesson about ownership, but in this third lesson, what we're going to do tonight, Mama, we're really going to just focus on two different lessons specifically about ownership. It is very, very important for all of the other lessons of the PRF program, Possessions, Resources, and Finances. It's vitally important that we have a foundation. And what I said on the last two episodes was the foundation is understanding that God owns everything. Now, that's easy to say, right, Mama? You know, we can go back to Psalms, and we can see where God spoke or where the psalmist wrote that, you know, the heavens are yours, the earth is yours, everything in the world is yours. You created it all. We can take that from Psalm 89. We can take from Psalm 24. Look, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to it. However, what we have to be willing to do is take those words from the page and put them into effect in our lives. So it's not just good enough for me to say the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It's not just good enough for me to say that. The only way that I can actually exercise the principle of stewardship, which is what I would say the foundation of ownership is laid for the principle of stewardship. So I can't actually be a good steward over anything unless I recognize and understand that God has provided that to me. So we want to set some I'm full tonight. We want to just set some lessons out there. We want something tonight just to be really, really practical, and we really, again, are just going to focus on two simple lessons, and we'll talk about those in a few. But before we get into the show, I just want to allow Mama a minute or two just to bring out anything that she had from the last two episodes. I said a minute or two and then talked about two episodes. And those of y'all who have been on the PR table before know that that's not going to be enough for Mama. But is there anything that you just wanted to say on this theme, Mama, of ownership? And I think that's important because we all have different understandings of ownership based upon how we were brought up.
Right.
If you grew up in a household as an only child, you may have grown up, or somebody may have grown up with this my mentality. If you grew up with several brothers and sisters in the house, and you were the one who kind of always got neglected because maybe you were the youngest son, or you were the oldest son, and or the oldest daughter, and mom and dad have said, okay, but you're a little older, you don't really need that. You may have a different understanding of ownership, because why can't I have something? Why can I not receive something for myself when everything has to be given to my younger sibling? You may have been in a situation, some of you listening may have been in a situation where you had something and then something was stripped away. It may not have been to the extreme of something being quote unquote taken away like it was in the book of Job, but it may just have been something on a smaller scale. May have had a car repossessed, may have had a home foreclosed on, may have lost a job. Well, your understanding and your perception and perspective about ownership says a lot. I can be a good steward over something. I know I was about to give the mic to you, Mama, but I'm just feeling it. I can be a good steward over my job. The Lord may have blessed me with a job or bless you with a job. And after he blessed you with that job, here comes the company that made a certain decision. And now they have sold the company, and that new company has decided that they don't need 50% of the workforce. Or let's go to some of our Detroit brothers. They're going to send those jobs overseas. Let's go to some of our technology brothers. They may decide that the call centers are no longer needed in the U.S. because they can get it where they don't have to pay taxes on the workers. So they go over to India or to Africa or to some of those other countries where they can pay a whole lot less. So if the mindset was, this is my job, and not acknowledging God in that, not acknowledging this is not my God is just allowing me to have this. See, we can become attached to things that we think we own, that we think are ours, and that's a dangerous, dangerous motive to take.
Yeah.
Again, if Brother Feaster was with us, he would agree wholeheartedly that this thing is about stewardship. But again, I say to all of you who are listening, it is about how we acknowledge God in everything that we have. How do we treat whatever we have based upon the fact that we know that it's God that gave it to us? And also, let's take it here. God is observing how we're taking care of the things that he have given us to have ownership over, or temporary ownership, which we call that principle of stewardship. So, Mama, I'm going to take a sip of this water and let you just go ahead and roll.
Okay, what came to, I'm just, you know, looking over my notes here, and I'm just going to read some excerpts from my note. It says, understanding that we are here for his will allows us to be stewards, which is tools for his glory. And that's just really piggybacking off of what you said, is that in order for us to understand ownership, because last week I had it turned around, you know. But in order to understand ownership, we have to know that everything first is not ours in the beginning. And if I realize that everything that God has given it to me, then it's not really mine. I would say, like, he loaned all this to me, you know, just throwing that out there. And therefore, I am to share because it's not mine anyway. And then to think about it, God shares with me. Because if everything belongs to him, well, he's sharing with me. And we are born for his purpose, you know, for his purpose. It's not my purpose. It's why I'm here. It's because he has a purpose for me. And my purpose is to to glorify him in everything that I do. And so he gives me the tools for his glory. Amen. And, okay, give me a second here. I have here, I can't be ownership over the things that God did not give me. And I found it to be very interesting, very interesting. Because you talked about a wife and a marriage, and you said, you know, and say in my case, as being, you know, being a female, of course, I can't look and say to someone else's husband and say, oh, you know what I mean? I know God gave that to me. No, he did not give that to me, you know. I don't per se own that. I did not make a covenant with God on somebody else's husband. You know, God made with salvation, and then it's marriage. It took the covenants of salvation, and then another covenant is marriage. And in the marriage covenant, it's the covenant and the vows that we made before God between the two. And it's nothing outside of that. So if I'm thinking that, I think I made a mistake. I really didn't hear from God here when I'm married. But I think this other person do not belong to me, you know. And if I'm saying that everything that God gives me, everything, whatever I have in my life, is what God gave me, and it belongs to God, then he did not give me that. So I just thought that was very interesting that you didn't know that you brought that up.
Right, and
then you said, oh my gosh, and you said too. You said I can't be obedient. I'm just talking about me. Example, I can't be obedient to someone else's husband. And he says, you know, we are to submit, you know, to our husbands. So how can I submit to somebody else's husband? Amen. I don't know. That stood out in my mind, you know.
Let me just jump in real quick, you know, and I don't remember, especially for those who are just tuning in, you know, we're talking about possessions, resources, and finances. And one of the things about PRF, which is what we call it, is these lessons are so interconnected with each other. Ownership, stewardship, giving, tithing, credit, debt, planning, saving, wills, and inheritance. All of these things are so interconnected. And for those who may be new to the PRF table, sometimes as we're talking about the life applications of different scriptures that that God shares with us to share with you, or the different circumstances and situations, it may sound like sometimes that we're not talking about ownership, we're not talking about PRF, but one of the things that I really wanted to make sure that I impressed upon everybody tonight is the fact that there are spiritual and there's physical implications for ownership. So the point that Mama just made, you have to go back and listen to last week's show, so we encourage you to do that. But this thing about ownership with possessions, resources, and finances, one of the things that we constantly say that God has given us is that resources, we as people are our greatest resource. The gospel of Christ could never get out like it gets out without people being involved. We know that in today's time we have the ability to be on radio as we are right now. We have the ability to send emails and send texts. And we have ability to help people to understand or to hear the gospel for the first time or hear what God has done in our lives or to hear all of these different things. But none of them would have happened unless people were involved. So I want everybody just to get a clear picture for those, again, who may be just listening, that I see out there listening for maybe the first time on the PRF table, because it's important. One of the things that we constantly say here at the table is everybody has a seat at this table. So you don't have to be a financial expert to be a part of the PRF table. What you have to be is somebody who is willing to come share and learn, just as we come to give, share, and learn as well. The spiritual and the physical implications of God's ownership. I want everybody just to place that as a pin in your, a feather in your cap, if you will. And I want us to do that before we actually tackle these two lessons that I'll bring before you in a few minutes. And these two lessons that I'm going to talk about, it answers the question, so what does acknowledging God's ownership of all that we have do? These two lessons that I'm going to present to you, it answers that question. What is acknowledging God's ownership over all that we have? What does it do? Let's look at it like this. If I go out and I buy a car, I buy a used car, $3,000. I get the title. According to the world standard, Mama, I own that car. Now, I can't say, and you can't say, that I don't own that car. But here's a difference of how we're dealing with it with the spiritual and the practical. That's the practical application. You own that car because you have a title which says that you own that car.
Right.
But the spiritual implication says God owns this car, and he's allowing me to have something and to share in the ownership of something that he's provided.
Right.
I don't know if I want to go here yet, but I think it's important because you brought it up. When God didn't give it to us, and I'm twisting what you said a little bit, just taking it on a different course, but that thing that you, quote-unquote, own, that you possess, if God didn't give it to you, then there are some spiritual principles that just can't be applied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't apply certain things, and that wraps into what you were talking about, Mama, when you talked about the husband and the wife. If God didn't give it to you, you can't apply certain biblical principles, one, and maybe not even some spiritual principles.
Right.
Because you have to acknowledge that God gave it. And last week, one of the things we talked about was about having a house or having a car. I didn't mention this last week, but I have a car sitting in my driveway. Don't nobody Google my house to see what kind it is. Google Earth my house or anything, but I have a car sitting in my driveway that is a friend of mine's car, and it's been there for about a month or so. Now, if I needed that car to ride around town, because if I did not have a car, I'm quite confident that my friend would allow me to use that car.
Right.
When I use that car, I can't say that I owned it. It's still on loan from my friend.
Right.
But the spiritual implication is that my friend is saying, Brother Dunlap doesn't have a car. I got him holding this car for me until I sell it. So why not bless my brother to be able to use what I have been given by God to take care of his business? That's the difference in just having a car and having the title versus knowing that the ownership is not just yours, but it's ownership with. The word tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs with Christ. We get to benefit based upon the things that he has already done for us.
Yes.
So other people should... So likewise, other people should be able to benefit from what God has done and how he's blessed us, those who he's allowed to have certain things, to be able to bless somebody else. And it doesn't mean that it's about giving up all of your stuff just because God has given it to you. So I hope I'm canceling out some of that theology that you ain't supposed to have nothing and you got to give it all away.
Yes.
I don't know what book that's in, but it's not in the book that I read. Go ahead.
I just want to interject here. Last week you also talking about we need to be a live example of people moving in God. you know, and your reference to if we had a son, and if I had a son and they ended up in jail, and so because they made an unwise decision or a choice, now I'm going to hold that over their head, and I'm not going to help them, knowing when they come out they need a place to stay, and then they're going to have to be get a job. And so but because they made that mistake, then in other words, you know, that's on them, because I told my son, you know, if you get in trouble, you know, Nate, that's it. Don't even bother to call me or anything. You know what I mean? So now you did get in trouble. And so now it's as though I don't want, you know, don't call me. I'm not going to come see you or anything. And so, of course, when you serve your time for what you did, you know, I mean, you don't have no one else but your mama, you know, then I close the door on you, because, you know, remember what I said. But then I'm not a live example of being good over what God has given me, because you are my son, and I'm to be a good steward, and you need my help. And Jesus was a servant, and Jesus never asked anyone, from what I read in the Word, he never gave him a sermon to say, now what did you do? If you didn't do this, then you wouldn't be in this trouble. No, he was always to serve. It was like, what can I do for you? And even when he talked to the woman at the well, he didn't make her feel bad. He knew that she had the five husbands, and he knew that the one that was not his, but he operated out of the spirit of love. You know what I mean? And because he did that, it elevated her, and she spread the word and won that whole city of Samaria. See, now that's what you call a live example, because she also knew that people needed Jesus. So she didn't keep what God had, hallelujah, given her. She shared it. You know what I mean? So that's being a live example that you were talking about. And then also you were talking about that we have to be connected to God. So when God has entrusted me, whatever God has entrusted me with, I want to be so connected to God that he will direct me in the way I should go. And that my heart, that when he speaks to my heart and say, you know, you give, when he lets me know, oh, there's a need, then I'm so connected to God that I won't waste what God has given me out of my emotions with the people who really didn't want it anyway, and threw it, because I had an example of that. I was helping someone that was really in need. This was back home. And then I happened to see where they threw everything in like a little dump, you know, in the back of the yard, you know. So therefore, that let me know that I thought about this as you were talking last week, and I thought about it. I said, you know, I wasn't that connected with God on this situation, you know, because I'm wondering why nobody else was helping them. Well, because they had already been there. And they knew that, and so I felt sorry for them. But then, and so that's what happens when you're not when I'm not connected to God, so he can direct me and who to give. Amen.
Okay. All right. So let's really focus on the task at hand tonight. As we just take the rest of the show and focus specifically on ownership in these two lessons. First lesson that I want to present to everybody is this. When you acknowledge God's ownership of all that we have, and again, I'm not just talking about the physical possessions, I'm also talking about the spiritual as well, because there is no separating, for a believer especially, but there's no separating the physical from the spiritual. Just because we don't act spiritual sometimes doesn't mean that the spiritual is not connected to the physical things that we have. So when I say, what's the first lesson? This is what you can write down. The first lesson is, when you acknowledge that God owns everything, it can start or it can put you in a closer relationship with God. I understand that, and I want everybody to understand the first thing to do to start a relationship with him is accepting Christ. That's the first thing. Accepting Christ as a Savior. That's where the position that we're coming from tonight. And as we work on that relationship, then it becomes really spiritually feasible to believe that God will place people in our lives to bless us. Not only that he will place people in our lives to bless us, but he'll place us in other people's lives to bless them. This whole thing is built upon that relationship with God, Mama.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
If the foundation for everything that we do is not built on God, then nothing else, I'm saying nothing else really, really matters.
Yes.
We can say it's built on Christ, but you can't understand Christ unless you understand God who sent him.
Amen.
So many people, I've run across so many people, unfortunately, that have put the cart before the horse. They focus on just Christ, and then they spend a lot of time, a lot of years of their life trying to understand God. Well, let's understand the Father, and then you can understand the Son.
Yes.
The second point.
That's good.
This may not be a long show tonight. The second point or the second lesson is this. When you acknowledge God's ownership over all the things that you have, all the things that he's given you, it opens up a door, and this is so important. It opens up a door for God to continuously bless us materially. It opens the door. Doesn't mean that God is going to give everybody riches. Doesn't mean that God is going to make everybody a millionaire. But notice what I said. It opens up a door for God to continually bless us materially. So I say it like this. God is the type of God. He really wants to bless you, his people. Mama, I think you can agree with that. The God that we serve really wants to bless his people. As a father, I really want to bless my children. I want my children to appreciate the things that I do for them. I want my children to honor me. God is the same way.
Right.
When we can give him thanks for all that he's allowed us to have, that's a big deal to God. I say that. That's a big deal to God. I can say that that's a big deal to God because I know how much of a big deal it is to me as a father on this earthly journey.
Yes.
When the daughter shows appreciation or the son shows appreciation for that car that they were giving at 16, not just during the excitement of when they got it as a gift, but how they took care of it for the years after that. That shows appreciation. The initial phase was a feeling of joy. Whoa, look at what mommy did for me. Whoa, look at what daddy did for me. But the years to come, the time after that initial shock of joy fades away. How we continuously show how we are appreciative of it. My wife says that, she said this a few times, to me several times, and I'm sure she said it on the show when she's called in before. She said that when she goes to work and she switches on the light into her office, she thanks God for that. She doesn't pay the light bill, Mama. But the fact that she has the ability to turn on a light switch and see an office that God has placed her in inside of a building that God has placed her in inside of a job that happened to come open, that she was able to get and to be there for as many years as she's been able to be there, and how that contributes to the household, and how that helps us to take care of our bills, and how that helps us to bless other people. All that comes from her saying, thank you, God. Look at what you got. Thank you that you have given me this job.
Yes, yes.
That thankfulness is that key. That is so key. When we can let it be known that we know that it was only God who provided us every good thing, every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. When we let it be known, not just in our prayer closet, not just when we go to church around church folk, but other people as well. I believe that God is willing to pour more and more and more and more into our lives.
Yes.
We may go somewhere after that, but those are the two points. It can start or it can put you in a closer relationship with God by acknowledging everything that you have he's provided or the things that he's provided to you, acknowledging that he gave it to you.
Right.
I had to correct that. Everything that we have, God didn't give it to us. So I'm being specific. Everything
yes,
that he's given to us, everything that
yes,
he's given to us,
yes,
we're acknowledging that God gave it to us, that he's given it. And the second thing, it opens up a door for God to continuously bless us materially. I don't care who you are out here in this world. You need material possessions.
Yes, yes.
You can't survive. You can't truly survive without them. And anybody thinks that they can, okay, a material possession is food. I don't know nobody that can survive off food, so I think that anybody who had that concept has probably said, oh, that's blown out the water. Mama, did you have anything that you want to say on those two points? Is there anything that you can think of that will you want to add to this conversation tonight?
Okay, yes. When you were saying that God wants to bless his people, and that's what it says in the Word. You know, God says, I wish above all that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prosper. So, again, it's going back to what you were saying about the physical and the spiritual connected, because he's connecting it together right there. You know, he wants to bless us. So, yes, he wants to bless his people. Yes, he does. Okay? And then he wants us, he says, your soul prospers. You know what I mean? So that means all of us. So that's the principle right there, that coming from that word there, that this is exactly what God wants to do. But with that being said, he also wants us to, again, know that this is coming from him, because that's the foundation, and then share what he's given us. You know, as I had said earlier, and that we have to really acknowledge that God's given us everything. You know, we just take so much for granted, especially, my example would be here in the United States. You know, we waste tons and tons of food, you know, and it's just like not anything, you know. Just, you know, if I don't want it, I throw it in the trash, you know. And over in some of those countries over there, they just want to just give them maybe a fourth piece of bread, and they'll be so excited, see, you know. And so, but we, over here in the United States, we are so spoiled about everything. We're just spoiled, you know. And so we don't really acknowledge, I don't like to say we, but I'm just saying in general, the United States don't really acknowledge how blessed we are. You know, just being able to go to church, having a choice, we take that for granted. But in our Sunday, our the pastor's wife, they just came from overseas, and they were saying that in some of the churches, they have guards at the door, you know. And so the pastors over there have to be careful how they bring the word, you know. And but here we are free, you know. There are people locked up because they read their Bible, because they had a Bible, you know. So we have to really acknowledge that all this belongs to God, and we got this freedom that we can go to church, we can go wherever we want to go, you know what I'm saying? Some of the countries, as we know, that you have to pay for your education over there. Our education here in the public schools are free. You know, we pay taxes, but you understand what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not free. Yeah, and I don't want to get off subject, because that will bring up a whole nother conversation, so to speak. But the thing is, You know, and I'm glad you're trying to be trying to reel yourself in with the we, because there's a lot of people that get ownership.
Yes,
you know, one thing that I continuously say is, you know, we don't have on the PR table, we don't have to talk about who, and I'm saying we, those of us who sit at the table week after week. There's no need for us to talk about what anybody's not doing, because there's a lot of people who are doing, and that's the tone that we want to set. There's a lot of people who understand that God has provided them with X, Y, and Z and are free to give. So let's celebrate those who are freely given because they understand that God has actually blessed them. Let's celebrate those individuals that are publicly acknowledging God owns this. God didn't, I didn't get this job by myself. God provided me this job. Well, why don't you? Yeah. I can't leave this job because God provided it to me. So how can I throw that back in the face of God that you provided me this job, so I'm gonna throw it back in the face of God and just walk out because I'm mad? No, because I have other things that I have to do and other people that are that I'm responsible for and other people that God may want me to bless. So I need to make sure that I'm in position to be able to do those things. One of the things about the physical implications, right? Was when we talked about from Acts chapter 5, and just to go back there, we talked about Acts chapter 5 as we dealt with Ananias and Sapphira, and what was said was on last week, Ananias and Sapphira, he owned some land and he sold some land, and he didn't bring all the money to the apostles' feet. He didn't bring it all to Peter's feet as the apostle and give the money that was sold from the land as Joseph had done in the last couple of verses in Acts chapter 4. And Peter said to him, you know, did you sell this land for so much? And he said, yeah, I sold it for so much. Yeah, I sold it for, here's all the money I'm bringing to you, Peter, is all the money that I received from selling the land, but that was a lie. And the physical implication was he gave him opportunity to tell the truth, but he automatically quenched the spirit, and he automatically grieved the spirit, because the reality was you didn't have to do it. You had the freedom, as you just mentioned. He had the freedom to sell his land and do what he wanted to do with the money. But once he implicated himself into the spiritual side, the spiritual side was selling their people who sold had property and houses or land and houses, sold it, what they had, and brought it to the apostles' feet. Again, as I said from last week, it's not that they sold, it doesn't say that they sold everything they had, but they had land and houses. So they sold, whether they sold one parcel of land or whether they sold 20, whether they sold one home, the house they were living in, or a spare home, they did whatever it was to help provide for the needs of their community. So the spiritual implication was by him cheating God, he also was cheating, by him cheating the people, he was also cheating God. And that spiritual implication was now he was in a position, the spiritual implication, he's now in a position to make the right decision, to make the right choice. But sometimes that thing happens so fast, just like it did, and it said, you're lying, Ananias. You're not telling the truth. And the Bible says that he just dropped dead. So then the men outside, here's another part of the practical. This is how I want everybody to see. Spiritual and the physical, they're always teetering back and forth from one each other. So the physical, now we go back to a physical implication. The physical implication after that spiritual implication of you had an opportunity, you grieved God. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You lie to the Holy Spirit. That's the spiritual implication. That's not a good thing to lie to the Spirit of God. So now we're back on the physical side where now he's taken out. He's buried. And then here comes another part of the physical. Here comes his wife. Now, he implicated his wife. But his wife had an opportunity to make her own decision to tell the truth. Yeah. And she had a little bit more time. She was given a little more. If you read the scripture closely, she was given more grace during his question to her, Peter's question to her, than her husband. Maybe that spiritual implication is, as the head of the house, you don't get as many chances as the people that's within the house.
That's good.
maybe that's one, again, I don't have all the answers, but maybe that's what I can see right now. That's one spiritual implication. As the leader of the house, you don't get opportunity as many opportunities as the people of the house because you should know better. So maybe God cannot allow that leader of the household to get away with what he did because it had negative consequences for those who he should have been leading within his house. Oh, my goodness, that is such a testimony for us in ministry.
So good.
Okay, so let's go back to Sapphira, Mrs. You know, the wife. The physical implication after she dropped dead was that the same people, and just to hear this, the same people who carried your husband out is now standing outside to carry you out, and then boom, she drops dead.
Right.
Now let's go back to the spiritual. After they took her out and buried her with her husband, the spiritual implication was all the people feared God after that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fear because they were doing, this is me, I don't believe they were fearful because they were doing the same thing. I believe they were fearful because they realized you don't mess around with God.
Yeah.
That's why I believe that they were fearful. That fear gripped the whole church. Fear gripped the whole community. Because when you see something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you see something like that, I'm telling you, if you are connected with God, you say, woo. I don't want that to happen to me. I realize God ain't playing. He ain't playing
right.
About how we take care of each other. You know how I know he ain't playing? Because he gave us a commandment to love ye one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. So there we go back with the spiritual. The spiritual implication now becomes they didn't love their neighbors as themselves. They would not have cheated themselves. But the fact that they were willing to cheat somebody else, come on now. I got one more thing, Mama. If you wanted to jump in, if there's something that you wanted to bring, I got one more thing to say, and I may be done for tonight. And if not, let me just I'll just keep on going.
Go ahead.
Because I don't want us to get up from the table tonight, all of you who are listening, and not really have a connection on the spiritual side. Again, we're still talking about ownership. We're talking, you know, these are lessons in ownership. So we're not taking anything, we're not reducing what we're talking about just because we're not talking about money every single time we sit down at the PRF table.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So can I give you a very good spiritual implication of dealing with ownership?
Yes.
There was a story about two men. One guy's name was Peter, the other guy's name was John. We know who some of us know who they were. They were apostles. These were two apostles that actually, they were disciples, they became apostles, that actually walked with Jesus, right? Now, in this particular book of Acts chapter 3, Jesus is gone. He's already ascended back up to the Father, and he has told them to wait around until the Holy Spirit comes, and then you'll be witnesses unto me unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I love that. I love those four things right there because what that says to me is you start at home, you branch out a little bit, and then you can go out and be among everybody else out there. So here's an example.
Yeah.
Jerusalem. Jerusalem is West Oak Lane, Philly. My community, my immediate community, or West Oak Lane Christian Church, my immediate church family, right?
Yeah.
Judea is that larger territory that's still connected to the West Oak Lane, still connected to, but it's the larger territory, not the biggest, but it's still connected to it. In Samaria,
right.
Samaria now we're talking about Philly. And then the uttermost parts of the earth, well, it's going to take something to get to California, so that's kind of way far off. See, we have to have this mindset. We have to have the mindset that God wants us to take care of home, not being selfish. not being callous about the needs of other people outside of our own community. But doggone it, if we ain't willing to take care of home, something's wrong with that picture. So let me give you a good example about home. So now they're still in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 3. They didn't just from the beginning just say, you know what, let's go to the uttermost parts of the earth. I heard what Christ said, but we heard what Jesus said. We heard what the Messiah said, but no, we're not going to do it like that. We're going to just go off and do our own thing way off and forget about what's at home. No, they stayed there and they ministered right there in their own community, in the community that they were at, not their own community because they weren't from Jerusalem, but they ministered right there in the community where they were at. So here's what I love. So now what they would do every day, the Bible says, if you look at the King James Version, it talks about the ninth hour. Well, the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they go into the temple to pray because that was a usual custom. So now they come up to a temple, and they find this man who is lame. He's lame from birth, right?
Yeah.
And he's always carried there. Every day he's taken to the temple gate. They call it the Gate of Beautiful or the Beautiful Gate. Every day he's taken there so that he can beg from people going into the temple. All right. Can I make it practical? How many people do we ride by that are in need when we're on our way to church?
Yeah.
Second question is, how many people do we ride by as we're going to church that are in need?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking it twice for a reason, because I want us to think about it. It's not what we have to hurry up and do when we get to the temple. Is what do we do on our way to the temple?
That's good.
Okay, let's keep going because it may not make sense to somebody that's hearing this for the first time. So here's this man. He's sitting there. Peter and John, they're going to do their normal. They're going to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, normal service, right? But then this man, he sees Peter and John, and he asks them for some money. So now Peter and John, they look at him. They're looking at him. And then Peter says, look at us. Silver and gold I have none. But what I do have, I give to thee. Now, let's stop there. I don't have money to give to you. But he still owns something that was very, very precious.
Mm-hmm.
Silver and gold I have not, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, get up and walk. So then Peter takes him by the hand. He helps him up. As he takes him up and as he starts lifting him up, his feet and his ankles were strengthened. He was healed. Then the man began walking and leaping and praising God. And now this man is where? He goes into the temple with them. Now, the spiritual implication of ownership. Christ had given them what they needed. Nobody could take away what they possessed on the inside of them. Nobody could take away the Spirit of God that was living within them. Nobody could take away the power that Christ had given to them as he left them. They were empowered because of what they owned. It wasn't for them to take what they owned, what was inside of them, to use how they wanted. It was because it had to be used how God wanted them to use it. But how they used it, they had to make a decision to use it. They could have kept on going past that man. They could have went on there and went about their business. But that's not what they did.
Right.
So when we talk about ownership, I love that story in Scripture, because it says that God has given us some stuff that sometimes we don't really know what it is and how to use it until it's time to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's time to use it. Remember I said at the beginning of the hour, Mom, and I think I'm done. I said at the beginning of the hour, one of the most precious resources that we have is each other.
Right.
Look at them, Peter and John, being that resource to you being used to heal somebody who have been carried to the gate every single day. This man was lame from birth.
Right.
This man could not walk from birth. But now in this chapter of Acts, he's a grown man. It wasn't both of them. Look. Peter and John were together, but only Peter reached up with his hand.
Right.
Or reached down with his hand. So being connected with the right people is important. Being connected with God is more important. You have to know that they knew who empowered them with what they were empowered.
Yes.
I don't believe that there is any doubt, there's no doubt in my mind, that they knew who gave them what they had. Mom, I'm done for the night. You know how I do it. I'll play music for the rest of the I'll play music for the next 20 minutes if I have to. This is important, y'all.
Oh,
we have to understand these spiritual and practical implications and physical implications or practical. If we can't help people see the practical as well as the physical, then we're going to be lopsided. Christ himself did not always deal with the spiritual. He dealt with the physical as well.
Right.
A healing is a spiritual event. The fact that the man was walking was a physical event.
Yes.
Can't separate the two. So as we deal with this thing of this principle of God's ownership, it manifests itself not just because we recite Psalm 89, not just because we recite the 50th Psalm, not just because we recite the 24th Psalm, not because we say Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, not just because, it's how do we live that thing out?
Yes.
Not just to show people, but to show God. God, you gave me this. I'm going to do something with it because I know you gave it to me. And you didn't give it to me to hoard. You gave it to me to help.
Yes.
I know I said I was done, Mom. I'm done for real now. For real. I'm for real.
Oh, that's all right. Oh. What came into my mind was the experience I had. When you were talking about Peter and John, and when you were talking about Peter and John, I thought about a situation that I was in. I was in a women's conference, and there were many gifts there. You know, there was evangelists, there was a pastor. It was like really the Bible ministry there, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were all praying, and then the prophet, God used him tremendously to even prophesy over my life and others' lives and everything. And then it was someone else that wanted prayer, and the prophet stood aside, and he says, "That's your gift." And I hadn't thought about this in, my gosh, years. But that came right back up in my spirit because I was wondering, why couldn't he have ministered to her at that moment? But he didn't, and it didn't really, I understood it vaguely, okay, that's your gift. But, you know, this is, you know, your service, and you were flowing here. But when he got ready to put the other lady, he pulled the other minister and said, "That's your gift." And he ministered to her, and she got delivered. But with that being said, I would have never thought about it that way. But it came up in my spirit now that John was still. John knew his gift, and he knew that was not, God was not using him at that time, and he was still. And so that's why, as you say, it goes back to, we have to be connected with God. And then we'll be able, because like you say, it is connected, the physical and the spiritual. Because we're one, and you just can't separate us like that, you know. Some things in our lives are just, in the, you know, just natural things. But basically speaking, we are, you know, there's a physical and a spiritual there. you know, and that was just a really interesting. It was just really interesting how he did that. He just stepped aside and said, "That's your gift." You know what I mean? And so this, we have to know, like you said, if he did not know God, you know, getting back to my situation I was explaining, if this a prophet, he was a prophet, if he didn't know God, wasn't connected with God, and knew his position in the Lord, then he would have just taken it, just kept on going. And I'm saying, I wouldn't have seen that example there, and I wouldn't have been able to share this with you, because I have never seen anything like that before, you know, and it was just so strange to me, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, so that's just really hit my spirit, that we have to be connected, so connected with God, to know that everything belongs to him. And these, and the gifts that he give us, he gives us these gifts. And everyone, as the word says, don't have the same gift. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are wrapping it up for this evening. We hope that you have joined your time with us this evening. And Mama, we'll be back next week.
Yes.
We are gearing up for some special things, starting our first Thursday in September. So we want everybody to just follow us on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. In addition to liking the posts that are out there with those of you who are listening or are talking about, please like the page. We are looking to get over 500 more likes on our page within the next month and a half. So we're just asking you to share our page with others so that people can see what we're talking about and see how we're talking about it, because I think how we talk about this subject really, really matters. There's a lot of places that you can get a lot of financial information, but I just don't know of anybody doing it like we're doing it here on the PRF table. So as I mentioned from the start, acknowledging that God owns everything, I really believe that it will guide you in the right spiritual direction regarding your possessions, your resources, and your finances. And I believe that this acknowledgement is a requirement regardless of income, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of what your gender is. And this thing is about spiritual matters. We have to get and keep God's word at the forefront of our decision-making when it comes to his possessions, his resources, and his finances. And when we understand and are really ready to deal with our PRF from a godly perspective, then we'll find ourselves asking questions like, what does God want me to do with his possessions? How does God want me to spend his money? What does God want me to do with his resources? And I think this is the most critical question of all. How do we transfer ownership from self to God? And I think from that, Mama, that is where we're going to pick up on next week as we close out this mini-series of dealing with ownership. Because there may be some of us who have things that we can't say God gave us. There are some people that have cars that cannot say, God gave this to me. God provided a way for this for me. Not God allowed me to go ahead and buy this. Not he allowed it to happen, but God provided the way for this. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
And again, as we deal with the spiritual and the physical implications, or the spiritual and the practical, right?
Yes.
There has to be some type of transfer of ownership in a spiritual and in a physical or a practical way. So, for example, if you went out there and purchased a home, anybody out there listening, if you purchased a home that you know God told you not to get, if you purchased a car that you know God told you not to buy, does God have the same responsibility to help take care of you, to take care of it, when he told you not to get it in the first place?
No.
Question to put out there in the PRF world. And if the answer to that question is no, then what do you need to do to get that thing from up under you? When we have a cold or the flu, we don't want the flu or the cold to stay on us. We do everything in our power to get rid of it. So why are some of our people holding on to things that God did not, one, give to them, and or two, that God told them not to have in the first place? So that's what we'll be discussing next week, unless God directs us differently. We're going to be looking at how do we transfer ownership from self to God. And we're going to look at that from a spiritual as well as a practical way. And once we're able to do some of that, I think there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be released from that ball and chain that may have them tied down. Because if you have something that you're not supposed to have, how can you be a good steward over it? Mama, we're done for tonight. Thank you, Mama. We love you. Everybody else that's out there listening. Thank you for sharing with us, those who have shared on the previous shows and are just out there listening. One thing that I can say is sometimes when we deal with some of these foundational lessons with PRF, people are a lot more quieter than they are when we talk about how to help get wealth, how to help clean up your credit. But the reality is, if you don't appreciate the foundation, how are you going to appreciate when God releases that ball and chain from you? There's too many people, as I said back in February or January, too many people that have gone back in bankruptcy more than one time. Question, did they learn the lesson the first time? Did they appreciate that release from that ball and chain of all those debts that they had that was weighing them down? Mom, I'm trying not to start another show, so I'm just going to say, look, Lord, let us go.
Okay.
Let us go. Look, just everybody, we love you. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say that God does not bless what he doesn't approve. That's what you were saying, you know, just piggybacking off of what you were saying, that if God did not tell us to go get that, speak to our spirit and tell us, yes, you can get this car, and he's not going to do that if you're making $6 an hour. He's not going to tell you to go out there and purchase a Mercedes-Benz. So he does not approve that. So, no, he doesn't. He only bless what he approves, because if God approved things that was not good for us, how would we grow and how would we know the difference if that wasn't result to say, you did it again? And then we'll ask God, just forgive me and I won't do it again. But you keep doing it again. So until we take accept the accountability for the choice that we have made, that we see this keep us going around in a circle, then God is not going to lift that ball and chain, because the purpose of the trial or tribulation, the word says for correction, is for us to learn to do the right thing. And the only way you know whether you're doing something right is when you know it's not working for you. I mean, for me, I know. You know, if it's not working for me, and there's something wrong, I've been doing this for 10 years, no, something is not working. Okay.
Mama, just hold on to that. I really don't want you to get all 45 minutes of next week's show out in about the next 10 minutes.
Okay.
Just hold on. We're going to talk about and deal with this transfer of ownership from self to God and deal with it from a spiritual and a practical way. So
yes.
Pray for us as we pray for you. God bless you. We're going to listen as we close out tonight's show, our good friend Anthony Hamilton with Ball and Chain. God bless you. We love you.
Okay.
Thinking, damn, I'm getting a little older. trying to find some peace of mind. Take the weight of the world off my shoulder. Got me driving down the highway, trying to make it through each and every day. Fade the black and all poverty. Take a truck and move my people down south with me.
Bring my ballin'.